Welcome to this week's Take 15 with the Rabbi. I normally record this class in the comfort of my home office in West Hartford, but today my setting for this recording is just a little bit different. I'm currently at a rabbinic conference in Weston, Florida, which is part of the Legacy Heritage Distinguished Rabbinic Fellowship program of the Center for Jewish Future at Yeshiva University. It's a rabbinic conference entitled A Roadmap to Synagogue Entrepreneurial Success. It's a conference for lay leaders and rabbis, for about 15 rabbis and 15 lay leaders, where we work on leadership skills and training and ways to better improve our shuls and our boards and our entire shul operation. So it's quite an amazing conference that we're at right now, and I had a few free minutes in between sessions to come out and record this week's class. And as I recorded, I am standing here looking out at the beautiful scenery. It's sunny, it's beautiful, there's palm trees, a golf course, little ponds and pools galore. It's wonderful, really wonderful setting. And I asked myself, so many times, why they brought us here to Florida when we could have had this conference where we have all the other conferences that are part of this program in New York and New Jersey. And standing here right now near this pool, I realize why. The physical setting and the physical environment that we find ourselves in can give us strength, can give us peace of mind, can even give us some amount of pleasure. It can provide you with a whole new mode of thinking and a whole new mode of operating when you're in a sunny, positive place of physical beauty. We are all affected by our surroundings, whether we realize it or not. And this image actually has a lot of relevance to our class today, and I'd like to go through some of the sources that I want to teach tonight and come back to this image in the very end. Last week, we spoke a little bit about the idea of the Kaddish Yatom, the mourner's Kaddish, and the idea that our actions here in this world can affect the fate of the souls of our loved ones in the afterlife. We even saw a pasuk in the Torah and its interpretation by Chazal, which supports this notion that we here in this world can affect the souls of those in the world to come. And this really showed us that the original story that we learned a few weeks ago of how Rabbi Akiva taught us that by someone leading services and saying Kaddish in this world, he could possibly help free his father or his relative's soul from the trials and tribulations of the afterlife, was not just an isolated story, but something that was firmly entrenched in our tradition. And the question that I left you with last week, which I'd like to pick up with tonight, is why is it that our actions here can affect the souls of our loved ones in the afterlife? How does that work? And what is the connection between our actions and the actions of our loved ones who have already passed away? The answer that I'd like to share with you tonight is that our actions are really a result of the lives that our loved ones had led. Although this is not always true or not true in every single case, but the idea is that because of what our loved ones taught us and inculcated in us, or because of how they helped us to get somewhere in life, that their goodness and their kindness and their actions continue beyond their death. It says in the Sefer HaKadosh, which was a work all about the ideas behind the Kaddish, it says, La'aniyu da'ati, according to the opinion of the author, Sod ha-kaddish, hu sheha-ben yechaved av v'yol l'nishmato, u-ben le'imo, that a son, in this particular case, can honor and help the soul of his father and of his mother, la'azkir la, sheze yolado, v'ze gadlo, shekiyemu mitzvot pirya, v'shegadlu l'torat Hashem l'mitzvotav v'lishkod al datot batei knesiot u batei midrashot. That's through saying of the Kaddish, the recitation of the Kaddish, one can show that it's the parents that raised him, and the parents that taught him their values, and the parents that taught this son to learn Torah and to daven and to do all these wonderful actions that led him here today. And when someone says Kaddish or davens and helps to perform perhaps one of the most sacred Jewish tasks, the task of sanctifying God's name and evoking statements of belief from others, it's a merit to that person who helped you get there, that person who inspired you to get there, that person who just helped to raise you into a fine human being who's capable of getting there, who's capable even of getting there on their own, even if your parents didn't directly teach you how to say Kaddish, or didn't directly teach you how to come to Shul. Your parents helped to give birth to you, helped to raise you, helped to create a human being who is then subsequently helping to praise God's name and to sanctify God's name in the world. And so, by you doing that, by you saying Kaddish or davening or doing any of these positive actions, you're showing that the actions and that the life of the loved one of who's passed away did have some benefit, did have some merit, did have some godliness and sacredness to it. And therefore, continues the Sefer HaKaddish, Be'od sha'ben mitpalel, im ken ma'ata koma shi'ir be'haben bim'od me'od lehitpalel, then therefore, whenever the son continues more and more to daven, to pray, to lead the congregation, o lahagot b'torat Hashem, o ledof b'litztak of a chesed, or he learns more Torah, or he engages more acts of kindness and helpfulness and righteousness in this world, yanuchu amishkevotam nishmot horav, his parents' souls can be laid to rest in the proper place. What he means by that is that his parents' souls can be, as Rabbi Akiva had told us way back in that story, released from whatever difficulties they're having in the afterlife, whatever potential punishments they're suffering in the afterlife. They can be released from that because of these positive actions of the son in this world, which reflect upon the life of his parents who are now deceased. One of the scariest parts of death, at least in Jewish thought, is that one can no longer add to his or her repertoire of mitzvah. One can no longer do tshuva. One can no longer improve or correct their mistakes in the afterlife. However, what we learn from this idea of Kaddish and what the Sefer HaKaddish is telling us is that souls can, even though they can't perform actions in the heavens and can't add to their repertoire of mitzvah, they can still add to their repertoire by having their progeny continue to do these positive things in the world, so that their actions and their teachings and their work in this world is continued to be sustained even after their death. As the book Nativ Bina, which was written by Rabbi Yisachar Jacobson, so beautifully says, he says, Kacha, by doing this, by saying Kaddish and by doing these deeds in this world, Mamshich haben et peula tahorim umashliman. It's like a child is literally continuing the deeds of the parents even after they've passed on, and completing the deeds of the parents even after they've passed on. So if your parents helped to raise you and do whatever they helped you to do in their lifetime, then if you're standing here even after their death saying Kaddish or doing positive Jewish deeds helping to sanctify God's name in the world, then automatically it's because of them that that's able to happen. And therefore that's a zchus, that's a merit for their neshama in the heavens. And so by you doing actions in this world after their death, you can still add to their repertoire of positive deeds in the afterlife, something that they can no longer do. So by saying Kaddish, by doing this, we really have a tremendous positive effect on the life of a parent who is deceased. Now, what's pointed out by many of the Sfarim, many of the different books on this topic, and specifically the Sefer HaKaddish, which I read to you from to you a couple of minutes ago, is that this is not just about saying Kaddish, that this is part of a much larger picture. The idea that the positive actions, positive Jewish actions and general actions of a child in this world can affect the fate of a soul of a deceased parent is not just about the recitation of Kaddish, it's about all positive deeds. It's about doing more mitzvot. Anything that you do in positive vein is a merit for your parents who helped you to get there. And so he concludes, Sefer HaKadosh concludes this particular passage by saying, Lav b'kadosh l'chud talya milta. It's not just dependent on Kadosh. You can't just do whatever you want and then suddenly say Kadosh and then you feel like the Kadosh helped your parents' soul in the ultimate way. Ki l'da'ati im yomar mea kadishim la'aviv. V'yavor avera achat lo asa klum. You can say 100 kaddishes for a deceased parent, but you do one avera, and perhaps all those kaddishes are not worthwhile. So kaddish is just one piece of a larger picture of improving your life, of being more serious about learning, being more serious about davening, and being more serious about sanctifying God's name in this world, in however way you do that, whether that's in the business world, or the base medrash, or the shul. And by doing all of those positive actions, you create merits for the soul of your deceased loved one, because you're showing that their actions have not ended with their death, but have continued to influence you in this positive way, even here in this world, after they're already gone. Essentially, what we can take away from this entirety of this idea is that even though there's some disconnect between those who are left in this world and those who have passed on to the world to come, they can still influence each other, even though there's that barrier between them. And so our actions here can continue to influence our deceased loved ones, just as our deceased loved ones continue to influence us here in this world. And that's the point I want to come back to with which I began, is that our deceased loved ones can continue to affect us here in this world. Every time you see a picture of them, every time you read a letter from them, every time you use one of their objects, every time you sing one of their favorite songs, you become inspired to be like them, inspired to follow them, inspired to do something in their merit or in their memory. And in that way, they continue to influence us here in this world. Every time we shed a tear for them, every time we think of them, we continue to be affected by them, even long after they're gone. And so it's not so far-fetched to understand how we can then, in turn, affect them back by our positive actions here in this world. So to come full circle to this beautiful scenery on which I'm looking out, we're all affected by our surroundings, is what I began with. We can feel more happy, more positive, more relaxed being here in Florida looking at this beautiful sunny scene than perhaps in other places. And the idea of being influenced by our surrounding is that those who you were surrounded with in your lifetime, whether it was for a minute, an hour, a day, or a week, and especially parents who are so fundamental to a child's life and even to an adult's life, can influence you in a certain way that continues to influence you even after they're gone. That you're so influenced by your surroundings, not the physical surroundings, but your surroundings of people, those who were around you, those who interacted with you, those who influenced you, can be so affected by that, whether consciously or unconsciously, that you kind of carry them with you through your actions even after they're long gone. That you kind of continue to be influenced them, continue to be in conversation with them even long after they're gone. And therefore, we keep them alive in our actions, in our memories, in those things that we do in this world, which they taught us or which they helped us to do. And so it's not so far-fetched to understand how we can be affected by their actions and how our actions are intrinsically and connected back to them, even though they're long gone in the afterlife. This is really summarized by one line in the Gemara, which we always read over, which we always learn about, especially when we're reading Sefer Bereishit, but which we don't really think about in terms of its larger implications. We say Yaakov lo met, that our forefather Yaakov never died, it says in Gemara in Tanit. Ma zaro b'chayim? afu b'chayim. If his children, his descendants are alive, then so too he continues to be alive. How does Yaakov continue to be alive as long as his descendants are alive? Because as long as his descendants are alive and they continue to act based on the way that Yaakov had influenced them, they continue to carry Yaakov with them, and Yaakov continues to affect what goes on in this world even long after he's gone. So too with our relatives, so too with our ancestors, so too with our loved ones who have passed away. They continue to act in this world, to complete their actions in this world, to gain merits in this world for themselves, even long after they're gone, through us, who are the vehicles that help them get there. And Kaddish is just simply one piece of that. Have a wonderful week.